So today we're going to be in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8. And today's text is small enough that Eric was able to put it on a slide. So that's going to be... Okay. Well, either way, so it's very small. I don't know which chapter that is or what page that is on the Bible that is in front of you, but if you're using a different translation, I would encourage you to open up to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. I also would encourage you, if you're using your phone app, to open up to the Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. CSV, sorry. There we are. So we're going through a lot of transitions as a church right now, and one of those changes is Luis moving into the leading our music worship at this time. And this is very exciting for her and for us. And she and I spoke together last week, and she informed me that all she needed was the passage that we would be discussing and the topics that we would be reflecting on, and then she could start exploring possible song selections. And it seemed simple enough for me. The question was, what is God calling us to reflect on? I don't need to get into all the details of sermon preparation, but I will tell you that normally I have the passage by late Monday, Tuesday afternoon at the latest. And about 8 a.m. on Monday morning, I felt God was strongly calling my attention to a particular passage with three words that were being highlighted within this passage. And so the passage that we were going to be covering should have been on the slide, but that's okay because I didn't communicate that clearly enough, but I'm going to go ahead and read it for you. And that passage is from Proverbs 3, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones." And today we're going to be discussing trusting the Lord, knowing the Lord, and fearing the Lord. And everything seemed to be coming together so quickly because those words just kind of jumped out the page to me when God revealed it to me. And I was so excited because it was, you know, it was coming together quickly. I felt confident in the direction that God was leading. And then so I sent this information over to Luis very quickly so that the Lord could begin working in her to find song selections for our worship this morning. And I felt really like I was being a good pastor. You know, like the week was starting off so much better than last week did. But then something happened. And it was something horrible, and it was something that I could not control. And it is something that is the downfall of every single man. And that is that I started to think. This passage is only four verses, right? How am I supposed to talk about this passage that is only four verses for more than 4 minutes? A panic set in, and I felt like I made a mistake. Maybe I didn't hear from God like I thought I did. Maybe I should start looking for another passage. And it didn't help that Luis was on top of things. And by 10:06, she had sent me four songs that pretty much locked us in to this passage, right? And so I felt so much pressure during this time. And like, what's crazy is just in about 2 hours, I went from completely ready to trust God with everything to being completely full of doubt. And I didn't know what to do. And so what I'm just saying is, can anyone else relate to this? Does this not just seem like something that we're always, like a state that we're always in? And so Proverbs is wisdom literature. And instead of making me feel wise, it made me feel foolish. And that's when God began to open my eyes to where we are to go today. Wisdom doesn't come from man. It comes from God. And if we put our eyes on Jesus, we always have a chance. See, this passage instructs us to trust the Lord, to know the Lord, and to fear the Lord. But they're not simply commands for us to follow. When we see them together, they form an invitation because they are all aspects of a relationship, the relationship we should have with God. These instructions challenge us by showing us the wisest thing we can do is be in a relationship with him. So let's begin our search by looking at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. It's very clear that this passage starts out with a call to trust the Lord. And as stated earlier, this is our first point to explore. And trust is defined as firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And that would make sense to us, especially considering that the Lord is God, the creator of all things, in control of all things. His strength and knowledge is beyond comparison. Romans 11:33 says, Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. Unsearchable, endless, incomparable. He is unique in this regard, as he should be. He is God, and we are not. If we are his creation, then we should trust him. The problem for us is not so much that we should trust him, but how we should trust him. The verse states that we are to trust the Lord with all our hearts. So what does that mean? Well, when we say we love someone with all our hearts, that means we love them with everything we have. So to trust in the Lord with all our hearts would be to trust him with everything we have. Yet saying to trust him with everything is one thing, but understanding what everything is completely another. To trust God with everything is to trust him with our lives, our desires, our families, our finances, our health, and our friendships. These are the desirable things in life, and we should trust him with them. That there is more to all of our hearts than the desirable things in life. What about conflict, pain, sorrow, frustration, and anxiousness? Those are a part of our hearts as well. If we are to trust God with all our heart, that means we are to bring all things to him and to trust him as he works through us using both desirable and undesirable circumstances to grow us in relationship with him. If we are honest with ourselves, we can admit that we don't really know what is in our hearts. We have some ideas, but we don't fully know. It would seem to be an act of trust to ask him to reveal what is in our hearts and to trust him to be faithful with what he finds. Trusting someone would also involve listening to them and doing what they say, especially when it is an area of their expertise. And since God is an expert in every area, this would lead us to obeying his commands. He knows what he is talking about. In John 15:10-11, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." There's something interesting about this, because Jesus has every right to tell us to keep his commandments, but there is a great benefit to us in doing so. Our joy is made full. Jesus shares his joy with us, and that joy comes through obedience, which is trusting him. Joy comes through our relationship with God, and we should not look anywhere else. Joy comes from trusting him with all our hearts. And it is not only what we should do, but it gives us the result that we all desire, and that is to have true joy. We should also note that the end of this proverb makes an interesting final point to this section by saying, "Do not lean on your own understanding." This can be summed up by saying, "Do not assume that you know what is going to happen." This means that we are to be as wise as God allows us to be, yet we are not to assume that we know the outcome. If we assume we know what's going to happen, then we will be full of doubt when we need a miracle, when we need God's intervention in our lives. We need confidence in God, and that comes through trust, not through doubt. To end this section on trusting the Lord, I'd like to read you a passage from Matthew 14. That passage states, "Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Brothers and sisters, we cannot assume we know what is going to happen. The disciples tried to act as wisely as they could. They assumed there was no other solution besides the one they presented. Yet Jesus called them to trust him. And when they did that, he included them in his glorious work. We need to trust God with all our hearts, because that is what he's calling us to do. When we make that decision, we see him work, and we can begin to know who he is. Let's continue in our passage by looking at verse 6. Verse 6 states, "In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight." Again, in this small passage, our point comes out quickly. So knowing the Lord is our next topic to explore. And to know is a broad term, but our focus will not be to discover who God is from this verse. It's too small. However, it does give us a clue as how we should approach knowing him. See, it says, "In all your ways, know him." And we might not be sure how to know him in all our ways, but the text isn't telling us how to do it. The text is showing us that it is possible. And if it is possible, it is because God has made the world like that. God has made himself available to us. He wants us to know him. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know in full, even as I've been fully known." We are already fully known by God, yet he wants us to know him in a similar way. Now we may see dimly, but we still see glimpses nonetheless. If he can be known in all our ways, this gives us a goal in all of our circumstances. The goal is to know him. This is a process that will take our entire lives, so just trying to get to the end is not an option. God cares about how we get to the destination just as much as he cares about getting us there. And this would lead us to a very important question. Where should we begin? The only way that we could possibly begin is to acknowledge God. We have to know that he is real, that he is available, that he wants us to get to know him. And the first thing you do when you meet someone is acknowledge them. You tell them something like, "Hello, what's up, how's it going," right? And we have to start somewhere with God too. And the easiest way to start is to start with prayer. Honestly, talking with God is an essential part of acknowledging him and getting to know him. Knowing that he hears us, that he's listening. This is all stuff that God does. And another aspect to consider in regarding all of our ways is the type of situations in which we find ourselves. Do you ever find yourself in an awkward or uncomfortable situation? Have you ever considered that God wants to get through that situation with you? If we are to know God in the good situations, and we are to know God in the difficult situations, doesn't that just show us that we are to know God in every situation? In all of our ways, in all of our paths we travel, we get to see who he is as he reveals himself to us. We get to know him. And this should be comforting to us. The God of the universe is not far off. He does not leave us to figure it out on our own. He knows us fully and wants to reveal himself to us. John 14:7 says, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him, or from now on, you do know him and have seen him." See, God wants us to know him so much that he sent his son Jesus, who is God in the flesh. He has made himself known to us in the form of his son. He is calling all of us to know him, and that happens as we experience him in all of our ways, by living our lives for him, one circumstance at a time. And through the process of living for him, the proverb says, he will make our paths straight. And this is a very interesting analogy, because straight paths and crooked paths have a lot in common. They can both be difficult. A straight path up a cliff is not easy. A straight path can have all kinds of obstacles in the way. In fact, a crooked path can sometimes even seem easier. If you think about a crooked path zigzagging back down a mountain. Yet one thing is guaranteed about a straight path, that is that you are always heading towards your destination. When we are on a straight path, we know the goal is directly in front of us. And that is what knowing him does for us. It gives us a clear goal. The goal is to experience life with him and for him and to get to know him in the process, acknowledging him with all of our decisions. This week will be full of ups and downs, joyful events, and difficult decisions. We are not to get lost in trying to figure these things out on our own. We should find comfort by the fact that our God wants to get us to know him better, and that comes through the good times and the difficult times and everything in between. He wants us to acknowledge him, to call out to him, to come to him, And when we do this, he responds, and we get to know him better. He alone makes our paths straight. And we can see this as demonstrated by Jesus' prayer for believers in John 17, where he says, "Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have loved with me with may be with them, and I may be with them." Jesus wants us to gain understanding of God, of who he is and what he can do. Understanding is important to us because it is the application of knowledge. And this understanding will help shape our relationship with him, shaping us into the people he calls us to be. And as our relationship with him grows, we will begin to desire to share this knowledge of our amazing God with others, just like Jesus chooses to share with us, showing us it is possible to be with God in every single moment. We will know that he is truly our God, just as he claims to be, and that will shape how we relate to him. It will provoke a response from us, and that response is found in verse 7. So let's continue moving forward by looking at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Our final topic to explore today will be fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. And this is a word that we don't use too often. Fear in this sense is reverence and awe, a mixture of respect and wonder. And as we grow in our relationship with God, this becomes our attitude towards him. We desire to treat him with a healthy fear. In Luke 12, 4 through 5, Jesus says, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." He's talking about the Father. Jesus is drawing our attention to the power of God, to see his greatness and to see his control. And we should want to respect him more as we become more aware of who he is and what he deserves, which is our full worship. We become blown away by him. And since all relationships are meant to point us towards this relationship, it follows that there should be a pattern of maturity happening. The relationship should be growing. Like all other relationships in our lives, as we become more aware of the other party, we begin to treat them in a more appropriate manner. Friends who have known each other for decades don't treat each other like they just met. That would not be appropriate. They know each other better than that. Their relationship has grown beyond that point. They know what to say and what not to say, how to comfort each other, and what topics require delicate maneuvering. Our relationship with the Lord should be growing to help us appreciate his power and to respect him more as we experience him in new ways. So the question for us becomes, is your relationship with the Lord growing? Remember, the type of fear that we are dealing with here is a healthy fear towards the Lord. And our passage today helps put this fear into perspective. And it does this by encouraging us not to be wise in our own eyes, but to fear the Lord. This shows that fearing the Lord is true wisdom. If God is in control of all things, then it only makes sense that we should show him respect through our daily living. See, we trust our eyes more than any other sense. We want eyewitnesses at trials. They saw what happened. We always want to be the first in line, or sitting in the front seat so we can see what's going on. And by being wise in our eyes, what this verse is saying is that it's warning us that choosing to fear of the Lord over fearing other things is not always easy. Like it says, often we would like to be wise in our own eyes, and this happens by fearing other things. We may fear man. We may fear difficulties in life. We may fear being without money, or even fearing the possibility of facing pain. But this is telling us that fearing the Lord is the most wise decision we can make. Making this choice becomes easier as he empowers us by showing us who he is and what kind of God we are called to serve. As the Spirit moves, he reveals to us the awe and wonder of our amazing God, and that draws us to a deeper level of respect for him. We fear the Lord in new ways as he chooses to display himself through the various circumstances he leads us through. Fearing the Lord is not only wise, but as this verse continues to help our understanding, it shows us that it couples this fear with a statement of turning from evil. It shows us a change or repentance of what we are normally prone to do. And this leads us to an important question. If we know God is the provider of all things, then why would we look to evil instead of him? This is warning us of our lack of contentment. If we feel like God is not doing what he is supposed to do, or we feel like God is not moving as quickly as he should, we tend to take matters into our own hands. We may try to force the issue by trying to get what we want instead of allowing God's plan to unfold. We are called to be obedient to God. Yet that obedience doesn't guarantee a life of ease or comfort. We have to be careful that we are respecting God out of fear for who he is and not trying to use him for what we think he can provide for us. God knows all things, and we cannot trick him in our thinking or in our action. And by doing so, that is foolishness, which is the opposite of wisdom. When we truly fear God, we can find true contentment. When we give him the respect that he deserves, we also gain an appreciation for him as he fills us with awe and wonder. Only he can satisfy our deepest desires, and we gain appreciation for that as we fear and respect him more. We will be admiring the beauty of God instead of admiring what beauty we think the world has to offer. And this fear points us to something beautiful that we find in verse 8 of Proverbs 3, which is our last verse. And this says, "This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones." Healing and strengthening is something that we all want. The wisdom in this proverb is calling us to find healing and strength in our relationship with God, the only place that it can truly be found. And this relationship is available to us because God has already fulfilled his responsibilities to make it possible. It no longer depends on us, but depends solely on him. See, God has written the law in our hearts, and yet we chose to ignore these laws on multiple occasions. We tried to trust in everything that the world has promised would give us joy, yet we have always been disappointed. We trusted in everything but God. We don't deserve him to be our loving God, nor do we deserve to know him personally. But our actions don't stop him from being who he is. In Jeremiah 31, God says, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my teaching within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will one teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity and never again remember their sin." See, the relationship with the Lord has always been the calling from the very beginning, that we should walk with God, that we should be in his presence, that we should know him. But the biggest obstacle to this relationship has always been our sin. Yet his love is greater than our sin, and it is proven by the Father sending his Son for us. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our sins. He lived the perfect life of trusting the Father, and instead of receiving healing for his body and strengthening for his bones, he exchanged it for death on a cross in our place. He paid the price for us so that we could receive healing and strength that a true relationship with the Father brings. He brought not only rest for our bodies, but restoration for our souls, and he did it out of love for us. He redeemed us. And 3 days later, when everyone assumed he was gone forever, he rose again, proving that we don't really know what we always think we know. The call for us is to respond to this act of love with trust, to trust the Lord with all our hearts, to trust him to reveal himself to us more and more each day, and trust him to teach us to fear him, because only he can lead us to the greatest source of awe and wonder that the universe has ever known, the true source of joy. He leads us to himself. Won't we all choose to trust him today? Let's go to him now in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for this time that you've allowed us to gather. We thank you for allowing us the possibility of trusting you. Lord, we just confess, Lord, that we have not always trusted you with all of our lives and all of our hearts. Lord, that we often take matters into our own hands. We don't fear you, and we don't want to know you, but we want to find comfort and joy in other things of this world. We ask, Lord, that you would turn our hearts to you today, that we'd be able to trust you with all that we have and all that we are, that you would empower us by your Spirit to trust you more. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to know you, and that would come through prayer and through reading your word, that would come through healthy community. We ask, Lord, that you would just continue to reveal yourself to us in all circumstances. Lord, even in the most difficult of circumstances, we ask that you would help us to see you, to help to see who you are. And we ask, Lord, that that understanding of you, that knowledge of you would grow our relationships into a healthy fear. Lord, we just ask that we would be able to be blown away by you, to know you are sovereign of all things, that you are in control of all of our circumstances, and that you provide for us in ways that we can't even imagine. Lord, help us to learn how to fear you in new ways. Help us to glorify you, and help us to see that it is all because of the work that Jesus Christ did for us that we're able to come to you and call you Father too. Lord, we love you, and we ask that we would be able to grow in that relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.